morning.
Good morning.
It is a great day to be alive. Huh? And I am just so appreciative of this place and you all. Okay, it's not just this local, physical place, but it is who the Lord has placed here. I probably have said it to Lisa, and I've said it to Lynn over the years. I really do think that we would have gave up years ago on this Jesus thing if we had not met up with believers that were here. And the words and the encouragement that has been preached out of this place. So I'm just so thankful. All right, thank you. We love the family that has started this, but so many of you that have been gathered here over the years. It is the love that we see when we're here, literally, that keeps us coming back. Okay, because I've been in a lot of churches. All right, my guitar has taken me in a lot of churches and a lot of different places. And I want to tell you something. There was a lot more love in many of the bars that I played than some of the places, that called themselves church. Okay, but I want to encourage you all this morning to let you know that the real deal is here, okay? All right, it really is, okay? Because what you have in each other is incredibly special, okay? Incredibly special, and I want to encourage you in that. I'm so thankful for Kathy, who has supported me in the crazy things that I do. And this journey of faith, okay? Because we were high school sweethearts, all right? And I left her, because we were raised Catholic, I left her to go to the seminary because I was looking for God, okay? So, in fact, our last will and testament, the unauthorized one, said John Scarpetta leaves Kathy Staub to the convent. So thankfully she didn't go, and thankfully I didn't stay, because I think that I would have really missed the Lord had I followed that path and have not found the Lord, in the person that he has joined me to. And that's not only in the marriage relationship, but it's also in the fellowship. This past Monday night, I have some really, really close friends. They've come here to conference, Don, Bill, Tim, and the Lord has brought us together. And whenever it's one of our birthdays, we celebrate by going out together, just the four of us. It used to be five when David was here in the physical, our friend David, and he would come here often. We prayed for him here when he went through his cancer and then passed to the other side. And we are four so incredibly different individuals. And we talked about this on Monday night, that it only could have been God that could have brought us together. Because, one's sports-minded in one way, one's minded in another way. I have my music, But we so love just being with each other. And I don't want to say use the word tolerate, but we love each other even when they're talking. I love being with them and listening to them talk about their sports teams, and I don't know anything about what they're talking about. Okay, I don't know it, but I love being with them, okay? And in fact, I got up and went to wash my hands, used the restroom, and that's where I came back, and I said, I have to tell you guys this. I said, when I see any one of you, all right, there's something inside that leaps, okay? It's a burn, okay? That's not just the love of another person, but that's the love of God. That that has done that, okay? And really, okay, what's really been stirring in me over this past time, and I'll tell you why it's been stirring in me, is been working on records, okay, with this young lady, and some of y'all know a little bit of the story of how, but I have a recording studio in my basement of my house, okay? And it happened all because the Lord provided it. It wasn't that I ever thought that I was going to do that. And quite frankly, I've got enough equipment to some of the pro studios that I had been in years ago. Of course, technology has brought things forward and all that sort of thing. So all that, so that's a whole nother story, but Lana and I have been working on her songs over the past couple years, okay? It's taken a long time. But this one song that we are really working on to get right is from Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, if I have not love. So guess what? I can't get it out of me. That's all that I've been thinking about for the past how many months. And Kathy hears it. She hears it going over and over and over again in the basement because, you know, in the recording, we're just listening to hear what's right, what's wrong with it, that sort of thing there. But if it wasn't a creation from the beginning, if it wasn't a song, if it wasn't a scripture that this young songwriter took and put in her heart, all right, and then brought it out as a creation, it wouldn't have any life at all, period. Okay, it really wouldn't. All right, but what's happening is it is getting more and more life. Okay, and it's getting more and more life because the musicians that I have asked to play on it are bringing their own individual. Lisa talked about how we bring our. They're bringing their own individual talents and gifts in. Clint, you know Clint. All right. Clint travels from here to come up to my basement in Harrisburg, 2 hours, to play a bass line because I asked him to do it, all right? And I had other bass players that could do it. I even had a fellow from the store come over and play a bass line on that song, and it was done right. But I don't know, something told me I have to have Clint on that bass line, and he came and did it, okay? So, you know, What I'm going to say is that I have good expectations for the finished work of this song because of those that have contributed their talents to it. But still goes back to the creation of it, okay? If it wasn't the words of 1 Corinthians, and if it wasn't in this young lady who loves the Lord's heart, there would be no song, right? So. All right, so I have a couple of rabbit trails and a couple of things on my heart to want to share, but I just wanted to talk about, you know, it wasn't for the creation, huh? Yeah. Where would love be? Yeah. Okay. And where would giving be, right? You know, for our God so loved that he gave, all right? And we need to see, okay? We need to see more and more that it's not about me, but it's about the we. It's about us. It's not about me, okay? It is the collective. It is the corporate man where God dwells. Now, yes, I do understand that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and in you. I understand. I do understand that, and I think we've got that. I think we have arrived really at that. And I think I really see that we really need to think more and more and more about who he has placed us next to, who he has placed us with. And we need to cherish them and those who and where he has placed us, no matter where we are. Okay? Because, okay. So this other scripture just keeps hitting me all the time, all right? And I've shared it up at our own fellowship. And Saul, all right, who was killing believers, right? We know the story in the scriptures, right? He's out. He's on a mission. You know, it's not from God, okay? It's from religion. He's on a mission, and he is stricken, right? And he can't see, but he hears a voice. And the voice says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." So the revelation that Paul was given of who our Lord is was not separate head and body, but one. All right? And that was the beginning of Paul's revelation of who God really is and where he is. All right? We don't keep that thought so much because when we go through the things that we go through in life, we end up feeling like it's me going through it. All right? And I know that. Okay, that's part of our of where we are. But what I'm saying is that our thinking needs to continue to change to realize that we are not alone in anything. We are never alone in anything, for he is with us. But he is with us definitely through each other. And if we can't love and if we can't give to our brother who we can see and who's in front of us, how are we ever going to love God who we can't see? All right. And I do believe that he has made himself, all right, visible in this way. And I believe that that is exactly what love is. I don't know how to encourage you. And I do I have a formula? I don't have a formula. I can't tell you what to do. Because let me just go to this one scripture, too, that the Lord has me at. And it's Ephesians 3:14. All right? This is what Paul writes. Paul, the guy who got the revelation that his Lord is Jesus, his body. Right? "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." We've experienced that, huh? Praise God. Thank God for that. I've been in churches where not much spirit flowing, all right? In groups, not just in the buildings, but amongst the people. So that Christ may, this is why you need to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love," not doctrines, not forms of worship, but in love, okay? "That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." And I believe, and he's talking to a congregation there. I don't think he's talking to individuals. I don't think that we're looking. I think we can only be filled up to the fullness of who of God collectively, corporately, not individually. That's his job. He's got it all together. So now he's telling us that he wants us to comprehend with all the saints. Now, comprehends it. So he wants us to understand how big, how long, how high and depth. All right? But then he also says he wants us to know the love of Christ, and it surpasses knowledge. All right? So I think he's talking about in our heads, okay? We can't know the love of God in our heads. where we can know the love of God is in our hearts. And it goes back to what I was talking about Monday night, that leap. All right. You know, when Kathy's on her way home from work and she gives me a holler, is, you know, on the phone, you know, I'm on my way, or I long to hear her voice, okay? All right. And not just because she's my wife, but I know that it's who God has placed me closest to in this life. And the same way with my friends, and the same way, and also the same way when we were here waiting for you guys to pull up, all right? There's this leap in our hearts, all right? You all know what I'm talking about, right? You know, you can't be not know what I'm talking about, okay? There's just this burn, okay? This, and I think it's also God's consuming fire. All right, it really is, okay? I do believe that the love of God is his what the whole thing is all about. The whole thing, not part. We can't go anywhere and escape his love. He has been so gracious. And he has given us an understanding, okay? And we are catching glimpses through those that he gives us, you know, through preaching and encouragement and prophecy of how big he is, all right? And that's all part of it. But his essence is love of who he is. And I just want to encourage us this morning to continually dwell on that. It is what carries us through the day, okay? And it's not just individually, but it's a corporate thing. It's, you know, we need to be satisfied and cherish where God has placed us and work out of that. All right? So, since I'm a guitar player and not a speaker, all right, because I did think to myself, what's wrong up here? You know, Lisa asked me to speak. I'm the guitar player, not the speaker. But these things have been on my heart, and I hope they encourage you, okay? I really do hope that you're encouraged. And I'm going to look for this here. I think I had shared it at youth camp, too, is that I hardly couldn't even stand this scripture because I played so many weddings in my life that, you know, the love chapter, like I heard it over and over again. But since we've been working on this song, it really has new meaning to me. And since the Lord's put this into my heart, okay. But, you know, we all know the scripture is broken up in these chapters, and they're not necessarily the end or beginning of a thought. So before Paul goes into this chapter here, you know, he talks about all the placement of the parts of the body. And that's who we are. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. And, you know, I'm honored to be here. I suffered in January and February with health conditions. And this is the truth, okay? I told Kathy this. I said, it wasn't because I knew it in my head that people were praying for me. I could feel the prayer of my brethren touch me. And I had perfect peace. No matter what the outcome would have been on those health issues, I had peace. And she knows it. I think, you know, I wasn't worried, okay? She was worried. But I really wasn't. And the only thing I had was a little concern of when they were going to take me to one procedure. And it was the doctor that took care of that concern, you know. But I was touched. I was touched, and I could feel the presence of the Lord through the prayers of his people. I really could. And I'm just so thankful for the prayers from here and everywhere. But I was suffering, and I felt y'all, okay? All right, I did. So Paul talks about the gifts right before this, and he tells us to earnestly desire the greater gifts, but then he says this, and I show you a still more excellent way. Okay. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I become noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I know these things, all right, and if I have faith to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked and does not take into account a wrong suffered. Now, I think these are all placed there and in this writing, so at least we would know what love is not. Okay, we would have a knowledge of what it is not, but he's not going to be able to really tell us what it is. It is an experience in God, and where I think we all have different backgrounds. We all come from different backgrounds. Our God experience is pretty similar. It's the same, really. You know, when you get down, when you get right down to it, and you talk with somebody about God, and you know that they've experienced God, and you just sit there, and they could be totally like our four friends. We could have come from total different. We did from totally different backgrounds, likes, and all that sort of thing. There, but when it really comes right down to it, that God experience is so much the same. It's amazing. Okay, and yet we can't describe it. It's not a knowledge. It is an experience. And thank him for it, because that is love. Okay? So it does not speak on its own. It's not provoked. And it does not take into account wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. Gifts of tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, it'll be done away with. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. But when I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. He fully knows this. But now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest is love. Amen? I mean, it is. The greatest is love. I'm going to tell one more story. About two, three years ago, I had a former client. I worked at the mission for 12 years, and I worked in this place called Help Ministries for last 13 years. Okay, and basically we provide services to the working poor and homeless in the where I'm at, and at the mission, of course, they were homeless. Right? And I used to get to do devotions at the mission. I don't get to do that at my place because we're clamped and cramped by government contracts and all that nonsense, but I get to minister to my staff, okay? But this fellow that was a client at the mission, and he was not one of my clients that I worked with directly. He was in the drug and alcohol program and worked with those fellows in that program there. Had a need for travel and came to my agency to do it. And I would have probably never seen him had I not been out the hallway and heading to the restroom, you know. And he grabbed me. John, do you remember me from the mission? I'd remembered him. I didn't remember his name because there were, over those 12 years, there was probably hundreds, if not a couple thousand guys that, you know. But, one of the things that I was doing in devotions that I used to get to share is I was just reading the encouraging scriptures that told people who they were and who God was. Because if these folks were exposed to anything of God, it usually was a pretty much browbeating, beat them up, kick them further down than where they were already at. And I was determined that I wasn't going to do that. Okay, if I could do anything, I was just going to read the scriptures. I didn't have time to speak or share. And he just said to me, he says, Romans 8. He says, I will never, ever forget that. He says, it has carried me through so much. He says, nothing. He says, I can still hear you reading that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Nothing. Not height, depth, what? Persecution, peril, tribulation. It goes on. And he said, I've held on to that, and I've been through so much. He said, even after I've stayed sober, I've stayed clean, I've stayed off of drugs, all those years. Okay, so we're talking maybe, 10, 12 years later, all right? And he said, that scripture carried me, And it does carry us. But the last part of that scripture, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, okay? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus who you persecute. He does not separate himself from his body. We should not in our thinking too. And I think that when we continue to have that thought, both corporately and individually, that we will see the things that we've been longing for. All right? But we must put the love first. Amen? Be encouraged. Okay.
Amen.